I've been reflecting about this term science fiction writer. Of course, I started as a sci-fi fan for all of those, you know, classic Asimov, Heinlein, Clark, Star Wars, Star Trek. And it's all very scientific, you know, in a way. And in China, we put it in an even more scientific way. It has to be very rigorous about science and based on facts and knowledge we've known. And it's written in the textbook, maybe. But now it feels to me like what I try to do is something more than that. Like something across the boundaries, something interdisciplinary, something even about spirituality and mysticism. And because I think science fiction, in a way, is the modern myth. So it tried to explain the world in a different way, in a scientific and technological way. But I think that's not enough. So because there are so much we don't know about ahead of us. Yes. So like doing all this conversation and journey and exploration with scientists, thinkers, philosophers, and artists around the world. So I think basically we need to build up some new narratives, so which couldn't be encaptured in a very narrow perspective of science fiction. I try to use my writing to expand, you know, the concept of science fiction. Maybe I'll call it something later, but now it's kind of difficult to get rid of that label because, you know, the publishers, the marketing people, because that's how people categorize you. Gotta put this label of genre on your books and put on a specific place on the shelves. Yes. And it's easy to sell, but I think it's quite a limit, like what you're doing, right? So, and then what you're thinking about. So this is what I try to tell myself. You are basically storyteller. What is so unique about science fiction is it's interconnected different discourses, like from the scientific and technological perspective, but also from the humanity perspective. And it's something between fictional and reality. And it's something about the past and the future, because we talk about all the things happen in outer space or like otherworldly, but basically we're representing, reflecting the present, the human condition right now. So this is something, you know, unique about science fiction. It's not science or fiction, it's something in between the space, the tension, the yes. punctuation between two works. At the end of the day, we are still trapped in this national state framework of thinking. We have our own interest party, we have our own people, we have different class, we have hierarchy. So all the things determine that we couldn't get on certain kind of like consensus, even if we can build on some very basic understanding, you know, like some framework.
Yes.
And something is bad, of course. Climate change is doing harm to the people and it's getting even more challenging. But what is the plan? What is the action? This is more to the core, like because it requires sacrifice on economy, on recruitment, like on human labors, on whatsoever, tradings. It's all part of the globalization, but that means you have to sacrifice a piece of my share, and this is where all the conflicts came from. We are just at the very beginning of the paradigm shift. We are already living in singularity. It's not just a single spot in time, but it's a period of transition. Maybe it's a century of singularity, but maybe afterward, when we look back into history, we just realize, oh, that happened already there. We just didn't realize it. We just didn't recognize it in that way.
Because we were living it.
Yes, basically it. So people living in the, you know, big times, they didn't realize it, right? So a lot of assumption was made afterward and by the historians. And I think right now we're in that paradigm shifting moment. And all of those arguments, battlings will be a very extremely interesting part of the history. And basically, I'm the one who observing all of those, you know, people. And I think I would love to have them in my stories because this is so real, this is so lively, and this is something I really love to represent the different, even fragmented reality in understanding AI. So right now, we just have the conference, the declaration in UK, like all these big players, they have agreed on something, on the regulation framework internationally. So we can foresee it coming that AI might be the thing that can reunite us, human, as a species, as a civilization, together. So this is so important because always in history, when you look back in time, we need some false enemy, right? Right now, we need something so distinguished from human. So the other, the others, they are so different from our own kind. But this is what threatening us. Maybe it's not for real, but we need that kind of thing. We need that kind of external crisis. Yes. To push us to united as one. Again, in Chinese, you know, crisis can be translated into two characters. One is Wei, is crisis. And another is Ji, it means opportunity or chance. So in Chinese, Wei Ji, crisis, always means two part of the reality. So it's very deeply embedded in our nature, like we see one crisis, or again, it's an opportunity to save us.
Name of my website is called Imaginize World. What would you, just in a sentence or two, say if someone said to you, if I say to you, how do you imaginize the world?
There's one sentence in the book AI 2041 is, yes, like, to create the future we want to live.
Yes.
How to say the word?
I have your quote here. With every future we wish to create,
yes,
we must first learn to imagine it.
Yes. So I mean, imaginize the world is something not taken for granted. You have to learn it first. Not naturally everyone knows how to imagine. You have to use your human parts, like your embodied experience, your childhood memory, even your family history, and your intrinsic responses of the surroundings, like the emotions, even those reactions beyond languages. I think those are the most important part, even those you couldn't fully recognize and understand yet, for example, your dreams, or even like non-consciousnessly, is basically the core of imagination. So imagination is not driven by logic or reasoning. It's driven by something even more deeper than we can understand. So I think you need to train just like a vessel, just like all this data's information getting through you and through your interface. They might have some instant reactions, just like a melting pot. It's like some alchemy, you know, processing. So some gold, some diamond, some, you know, crystal, something might emerge from there. And you never know what it is. That's the beauty of imagination.
For more from this interview, subscribe to Imaginize World on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts.